Have you ever been stranded anywhere? I mean, really stuck in a way you could do nothing about it. I have a friend last year who was stranded in England when the volcano in Iceland sent up all the ash and there were no planes flying. Now, that might sound like fun, and I sort of teased him about it, until we really think about what it means to be trapped in a place where you don't know anyone, where there are thousands of others also trapped, trying to get home, and where the exchange rate is certainly not advantageous. That was an expensive layover for him. I remember one winter in high school, while traveling to Chicago from Peoria for a speech tournament, and our team was caught in a ferocious blizzard somewhere between Peoria and Chicago, probably it was about La Salle, Peru. And it completely shut down Interstate 80. And the winds were blowing, and we were holed up in a rundown motel with many other people. No food, not much heat, snow blowing in under the door. And in the morning, we had to break the ice in the toilet so we could use it. It was just really tough. And the next days, we followed the snow plows as they were opening up just little by little and spending all this time in truck stops. Waiting for clear passage, it was totally beyond our control. We've probably all had some kind of similar experience. And there are certainly worse things. We know people and people even connected with this congregation who have been refugees and those who have been homeless. But I really think Christmas speaks to this kind of experience. One of the things I like to do with really familiar passages like this, that we hear every year and sometimes multiple times, is to just take a step back from it and look at it from a different angle. Not to change it, not to reinvent it, but just to say, what does it look like here, from this place? We do often picture the Holy Family in a precious scene with baby Jesus. And we say, aw, isn't that nice? It's beautiful, it's perfect. And we can sentimentalize what was probably, at times, a very difficult experience. One where the players were largely unable to exercise control. I mean, think about it. Bethlehem was overrun with those returning to their ancestral home in order to register with the Romans. And why? So they could be taxed. It wasn't the kind of trip to look forward to. Their land was occupied, and the Romans were not gracious guests. But Joseph went, taking Mary, a bad time to travel for them. But they had no choice. And then when they arrive, there's not adequate accommodation for them. Probably a lot of people in their same situation, wrangling for rooms, trying to, you know, outdo one another. I saw this today at Dominic's, where people were trying to get a parking space, and there was a man waiting patiently for this parking space, and someone pulled out, and then a woman came just around the corner, right in there. It brings out the best in us, doesn't it? Sometimes. I mean, think of what that would have been like in Bethlehem at that time. These people who had to jump when the Romans said jump and pay when they said pay. And of course, his relationship with Mary hadn't gotten off exactly the way he planned either for Joseph. I mean, he would have to marry his pregnant fiancée. I'm sure that wasn't what Mary had in mind either as she dreamed about her life ahead. Yes, they had seen Gabriel, and they did know the truth of the story, and they could move forward with that, but not the rest of their small town. And they can do the math. Now their child is coming. And was he born before they registered? Will they have to pay tax on him too? And as he comes, he's placed where the animals eat. A trough of hay, some cloths. Not the kind of place we would think of for a king, not even the comfort of his own home back in Nazareth. Now, I think it's safe to say that it may not have been what Joseph and Mary dreamed about when they sat on the hillsides of Nazareth and talked about their life together that was coming. But life is like that. We know that. It takes unexpected turns. It leads us to both joys and to disappointments, and we're often not in a position to write our own story. Sometimes there is another hand that's writing that. The coming of Jesus into an imperfect situation is actually great news for us, because we know that we meet God in the turns of life that we had not planned. The loss of employment, the loss of relationships, maybe the onset of a serious illness, the interruptions that we face along the way of life, these are where we see the manger again. And know that God does not wait for better times to show up. Christmas breaks in, even though we may object that God should come back when we're more together, or we have it figured out, or when the Romans have gone. No, God comes in the time that he plans to come. And this is the vulnerability, I think, of Bethlehem, the frailty of God coming as a weak child. A child that has to be fed, changed, nurtured, loved, raised. As Chesterton remarked, we see the one that made the universe playing with a little hay. And this is a tremendous risk. God is risking his whole venture on humans and how they will respond. And it gives us hope that we meet God in the most unlikely places, in humility, in vulnerability. We're told to be strong. I was told that. Not to show weakness. But God shows the greatest of humility in stooping to enter our world at Bethlehem, in saying, I know these are tough times for you, and here I am. Madeleine L'Engle, you may know her, the writer, she encourages us to vulnerability. She says, when we were children, we used to think that when we were grown up, we would no longer be vulnerable. But to grow up is to accept vulnerability. To be alive is to be vulnerable. God shows his vulnerability at Bethlehem. For him, the plan is perfect, but for us, it's often hard to see, and we say, really? Are you sure? Are you sure this is the way you want to do it? This isn't the way I thought it would be. Yes, I'm sure, God says. And here are the shepherds to worship, to be with you, to stand as community with you. I don't know what the last year has been like for you. Maybe very difficult. Perhaps you're in a wonderful place of new beginnings in your life. But I'll bet that at least at a number of points, it was not what you planned for most of us. And if you are tonight in a deep place of pain or confusion, or you feel stranded, stand at the manger. Talk with Mary and Joseph. See the faces of the worshiping shepherds and know that we meet God in the unexpected, twisted turns of life's road. And those places then are made beautiful. They're made places of worship. 2 years ago, Chris Downey had just started a promising architectural job at a successful design firm. And a few weeks after he took the job, he noticed that there was something wrong with his vision. The doctors told him that he had a tumor wrapped around his optic nerve, which required immediate surgery. After the surgery, he could see with blurred sight, and then 5 days later, everything went dark. Downey had become permanently blind. He tried to maintain his architectural work, but I mean, think about it. He couldn't read plans. He couldn't use the design software. And these limitations really jeopardized his employment. Until he found a computer scientist who was visually impaired, who had devised a way to read tactile architectural plans. Much to his surprise, Downey discovered that his blindness actually gave him a unique way to observe interior spaces. Not with his eyes, but with his fingers. As one of the company vice presidents would later say, and this is an article that comes from The Atlantic, he said, okay, I thought this was going to be a limitation, to put it mildly, I'm sure. But then I realized that the way he reads drawings is the way we experience space. Downey is now able to use his fingers to walk through the space and to view it from a different and even sometimes a better perspective. Due to his blindness, he can also envision new possibilities for the creative use of space. And as a result, his limitations, his weaknesses, have become gifts, strengths, not only for himself, but also for his community. As we celebrate tonight and tomorrow, in the days ahead with family and with friends, we are glad and we rejoice that God has broken into our fallen and fractured world and is transforming it in his love. We know how frail we are. We know how tentative we are, how unreliable. But Bethlehem stirs us from self-focus and reminds us that God comes even where we never planned to be and transforms that place with his light and with his life. So Merry Christmas and a blessed new year as we follow the Lord from Bethlehem onward. Amen.